I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody. Welcome on in. It's Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for hanging out. Guess what? Game day, and no better place to be on BYU's game day, Scott, than Utah County, your old stomping grounds. Here we are. Yes, we are at the...
My car would only let me get this far. I could only get to Linden.
It's like a... Yeah. There's like a little thing on it. Just kills the engine.
It's a governor.
Come on.
Hello, governor.
Murdoch Hyundai right here in Linden is where we are. Easy enough to find. Just off of the 1600 South exit. And or north, what is it?
1600 North
1600
exit.
North exit.
Yeah,
so
that would be 1600 North in Orem
cross
exit.
Cross the freeway from the Harley and just on the east side of the freeway. Easy enough to find.
By the Home Depot.
Beautiful location. And by the way, if you're a person who's looking for a car, and maybe you go by a lot of other dealerships and you go, oh, man, they got, like, no inventory. These guys stack to the gills with brand-new Hyundai. So, and Genesis.
Yes.
There's even a one of the electric Hummers
is
out there.
Yeah, you can actually reserve a brand-new fully electric.
Can I reserve a
five?
Man, my heavens. So come down, take a look. We're going to be out here all afternoon. We've got tons of stuff to jump into right off the bat, though, as usual. Before we start talking BYU game day, before we start talking about this weekend in football, let's get into the cut and the top of the show. Let's do it.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The show and the cut presented by G2G Bars, preservative-free, amazing protein bars that if you have not tasted them, they're in your refrigerated section of your Associated Foods. It's your Mavericks, your Holiday Oil, Costco, anywhere you want to find it. If you have not tried these, give them a shot per Alex and Scott.
Change your life. They're so good.
We know what we're talking about when it comes to the old protein bar. Scott, let's start off here because it looks like the reports are Early reports are that Logan Bonner may be not just out for this game, but maybe out for the rest of the season with a possible injury to his lower leg, foot, something along those lines. Reports right now, I don't know if it's been confirmed totally, but at least those are the things that are floating around online.
If that's the case, like, that's a good or a bad thing? You know?
Tell me the breakdown here.
Well, it could be a good thing in that it kind of rallies everyone around the new guy and, you know, kind of like what happened in the bowl game. And things weren't going very well, you know, so it's and it can kind of be a bad thing because he's a heck of a player and it kind of goes from bad to worse. You know, you have an incredible year ago and now you're kind of struggling to a point of where you're getting booed by the home fans. Like, that's how you know things are bad, is when the home fans boo you. That's a definite sign there that you're having a tough day. But so, you know, it could be that rallying cry because Utah State's kind of it's a train wreck right now. It's just a hot mess and you know, Provo coming to Provo, and this will be a jazzed up jazzed. We're not talking about them right now.
No,
right?
No, but there'll be Jazz fans in the building. But you get
Do you think the Jazz players will show up to this game? They show up.
You know, they
Utah
do that
games.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
and
totally.
When they're new, I love when they're new.
Oh yeah.
And they're on the sideline. They're like, I've been here. I've been a huge look at the state. Look at the stands. Right. I've been a huge Brigham Young University Cougar fan for a long time. You're like, yeah, thanks, Kelly Olynyk. You actually hate BYU. You played them when you're at Gonzaga.
No, but it's one of those things where, you know, under normal circumstances, BYU's probably going to run away with this game. But when it kind of, everything changes like this, it can be a new, you know, it can be a new kind of thing to bring the team together, create some more resiliency, kind of have a reset in some regards, because the season will weigh on you when you just kind of go down that path of losing, and you just find more ways to lose more games and just keep going and going until something maybe dramatic happens. And if Logan Bonner's out, that's the type of dramatic thing that could kind of change it.
I mean, that's one of the things that I guess we'll have to wait and see if it's totally confirmed. And obviously it's one of those things that if you're the team, they kind of keep it under their hat until whenever they want to kind of reveal it. But I don't know, somebody let it slip at some point this week, and you're at least seeing the reports that that's the case. Regardless, this is a program, even if Logan Bonner is healthy, even if it's not Cooper Laga getting the start, which I think you're probably going to see him getting the start, if that's the case, then you've got yourself a lot. You're not just licking your wounds here. You're kind of trying to redefine yourself and reset. When you said it's kind of a good thing, too, there's the part where you go, okay, well, now there's not the, like, waiting around going, well, I guess we feel sorry for us. Because you got a guy who comes in, he won a bowl game last year. He's certainly got a lot on his plate. And Utah State certainly got a lot on their plate, and they have a lot of injuries already. So when you have a game like this with a team who just has everything that has just been thrown at them, they got a ton of injuries, and BYU's got injuries, but nothing along these lines, there's this feeling of and the thing that stinks about this is all people are talking about is, man, this is going to be the final game of this rivalry, right, for quite some time, or for the foreseeable future. So what does that look like? And if it's going into a game like this where Utah State is just like down and out and struggling as badly as they've struggled in the Blake Anderson era, certainly, and probably since that COVID year, then what? Then where do you go from
here?
Well,
you're forgetting something. And that's an important thing. I don't know why this happens. I seriously don't. But it's a thing, and it really does happen. There's something about rivalry games. And is it the rivalry game? You know, the rivalry game is BYU and Utah, right? But this is a rivalry game, and it's a rivalry game because, like, these teams kind of have dueled one another, and recent history, BYU's lost, you know, because BYU's kind of owned this series for the most part, but recently it's kind of meant something. And when you have a rivalry game, all bets are off. Like, it just whatever it is, it just, for some reason, the team that's kind of down and out, which is Utah State right now, just finds a way to stay in the game, create kind of doubt or whatever. And I don't know if it's the team that's the better team doesn't take it serious enough, or they get this thing in their head from the coach, man, you can't take these guys lightly. This is a rivalry game, and it just gets pounded in your head all week. And I think coaches actually overcoach that a lot. You know, they put all these negative thoughts in your head, and those are one of those thoughts. You know, you got to respect you got to take, you know, BYU's a better team, and they just need and they need to show that they're the better team and think that they're the better team and play like they're the better team. But rivalry
also,
games just don't they for whatever reason, it just doesn't happen.
I was thinking about the nature of a rivalry game, Scott. You tell me if I'm wrong here. And I would be hard pressed for a BYU fan to really go, man, remember fill in the blank that year, that game. I think Utah State fans would probably likely bring up a game or two in certain instances. I think there's like that 93 game when they had broken the, you know, the like something like 18-1 or maybe a 10 game win streak that BYU had. There were a couple times in there, but I just don't. Rivalry games have to have an iconic moment or 10. And I just don't – I haven't seen it in this rivalry, right? Has there been, like, an iconic moment in this one except for BYU quarterbacks being injured quite often by Utah State? Or I think about maybe when Utah State won it in 2010 on that side of the rivalry for them. That meant a lot because they hadn't won it in, you know, in 18 years or whatever.
See, you're speaking of the team that is the dominant team in the rivalry.
I'm speaking from that perspective,
you mean? You're the BYU guy right now. There's really not much of a rivalry.
But BYU and Utah can both. I'm not trying to be. I'm not trying to pull the USC thing and go.
Well, no. You really respect what they're doing up in Logan.
No.
Have you been to Logan?
No, I think it's
in Idaho.
No. You're not quite there. But you are that person. The other side of
it. What is it then? What is it then? Because in the rivalry game, it's not just about whether or not it's good or bad.
It's really simple. Here's the rivalry game. They're in Utah. They're another university. BYU's in Utah. That's what a it's the close proximity. It's the fact that the two competing schools are in the same neighborhood. Now, there are some places like Ohio State, Michigan, it's a little different. But when you're – I mean, Michigan State has a rivalry. Utah, BYU's a rivalry. Utah State's not a rivalry because they don't play each other. But when you play each other and you live in the same state, that constitutes a rivalry. Okay? It just does.
That's
it.
No.
Arizona State, USC, UCLA,
Weber
Cal
State,
Stanford.
Weber State, BYU. No, just because they're in the same state doesn't mean anything.
Okay, if you go down two classifications, then it's not
it's
a rival.
Only one.
So whatever it is. Because you've got like SUU, you have Southern Tech University. That should be Southwestern Utah. That's what it is.
Southwestern like, Utah? No, Utah Tech is dope, man. That sounds
Utah
way
Tech
better than
sounds
Dixie
like
state.
It's in Provo. It sounds like it's
because you're used to the you're used to the UVU.
Right. It's yeah,
but, you're used to the old UVU.
Or maybe it's just like I don't know. It's like up in Salt Lake somewhere. It's off the old I-215 on the west side.
It's like the Davis Technology College. They're going to have a football team soon.
Whatever.
Why not?
I don't know.
Okay. Let me roll through because I have both. This is a rivalry, Scott. Somebody pointed out to me. They go, because both of them have dueling ice creams. And I thought, I don't know if that's a good thing or if that's a eye roll type of situation. And then I started to look, and you know what? We've got to throw this out here. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look up all of the flavors from both Aggie ice cream and BYU, and I'm going to see which ones you think would.
I know there's the creamery, but this is the like Utah State should own this. They really should because they're
it's the ag school.
It's right. I mean, and it's you know it's up in Logan. There's a lot of cows up there. Right?
You're sounding like all the BYU fans I saw on Twitter this week.
I'm just saying they should have better ice cream. It's like you got the cheese, you got the cows.
Hey, I heard their
I
heard their lead
the
cow
climate.
Went out this week. I heard their conference winning cow went out this week.
The bell cow
went out this week with an infected hoof. You don't want to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I get hoof and mouth.
You're gonna have to put them down.
That'd be a good flavor of ice cream.
Gross.
Right there. Got the old hoof and mouth. Hoof and mouth ice cream.
No, you cannot have that as a flavor. Okay. All right. This is a Thursday game. Trying to convince people to get excited for Thursday game. I get more excited about these games because they're midweek. This game is played as a midweek game or as a Friday game. Having it as a Thursday game. As a player, does it matter to you when it's this early in the week?
Here's
does it
matters.
Make a difference to you?
Yes, this is what matters. It's a nationally televised game, and no one else is playing.
You're the only
so
game
everybody,
in town.
You're going to have a lot of eyeballs watching you, and as a player, that always matters. I don't care if it's Thursday. I don't care if it's Tuesday. I don't care, you know, Monday. Those just tend to get you excited, get you juiced up. So, yeah, it's a big game. In the sense that what you want is you want to put your best foot forward. You want to showcase. You want people to go, oh, yeah, they're pretty good. And so it's very important. I had an epiphany about this game.
Ooh.
So BYU's had these kind of slow starts, right? And I figured out why I think they're having slow starts.
Tell me.
So I think it has to do with Jaren Hall being a, like, take care of the football kind of quarterback. So what happens typically is you go into a game, you've studied, you've watched how the defenses are playing or the schemes of the other team, and you get into the game, and now you're kind of seeing it live for the first time. And so it's kind of like, you know, let's hold our finger up in the air to test the temperature or dip our toe in the water. We're not fully in, right? And so you play a little bit more cautious. And what it tends to do is you kind of have those slower starts. And I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing that BYU starts, but if you really want to get out to a fast start, you've got to kind of be more with a sense of urgency. You have to be a little bit up-tempo. You have to be more, we're going to be attacking with what we're doing. And I think the mindset is to be like, don't want to make a mistake here. Let's just kind of test the waters. Let's see how things go. So how do you change that? Couple of things. You want to know?
Well, from last week, I'll say I think the way they tried to remedy it last week was they were like, okay, Wyoming's not going to dictate this. We're going to speed up the offense. Like they just started. They just started.
So tempo is definitely one thing.
Huge. Okay.
Yeah.
What else?
It's a massive thing. It's the strangest thing in the world because all of a sudden the defense gets defensive. You know, it's like, how dare you try to do this to us? And what happens is they like because they've prepared, right? And so they have they go, okay, this personnel group, these formations, these are the defenses we're going to call against that because it's predominantly what they do. But if they don't have a chance to really analyze it, it just happens so quickly. It's like just basic defense, just go out and try to react and try to figure things out.
Yeah.
And I don't know why more teams don't actually go up-tempo. I love up-tempo. I think it's amazing. It's like part of why I love to watch basketball, right? Because there's always action going on. Now, the other thing that the way to do it is who's the most important person on the entire offensive team at BYU?
It's always the quarterback, right?
Isn't it Jaren Hall?
Yeah.
Don't you want Jaren Hall to, like, get it going? And it's like, why not? And there's ways you can do this. And I talk about this ad nauseum. High percentage passes, so it plays into we're taking care of the football. You distribute the ball to a lot of people. You get a lot of people involved in the game, and you put the defense on the defensive. But you also get your quarterback going. Okay, I'm into this game a lot sooner. And I just think schools and you want to change the tempo. That's the best way to do it.
Two of Jaren Hall's four touchdowns last week. You had the big bomb. You had the one that was like that out to Brayden Cosby. It was a crazy catch, right? But that was relatively short, you know, as compared to the 68-yard touchdown to Keanu Hill. The other two were these, like, rub or, like, kind of quick out, like, little – they were dunks. Like, it was like, you guys aren't going to beat us. I'm going to throw this ball perfectly.
You mean like a dink and dunk throw?
A little dink and dunk throw.
Okay.
But it was like
– Because to me, a dunk is like, you know, boom.
I'm saying a dunk in the sense it was. There was basically no the defense didn't have it figured out. They got up to the line quick. They go, boom, we're going in. And it was – a quick out throw here. It was this quick throw over to this side, and it was and they were relatively easy. And I think that those are play call issues with or those are play call situations for A-Rod where they go, we go up here and we're on the 3-yard line. We got an easy little throw out here that no one's going to be able to defend. It's this one right here.
I wonder because there's another way to do it, and that's to script your first 15 plays. Like in the NFL, that's you just did that.
Yeah.
Week. So you knew what the first almost like you just went down the playlist. And you went into the game, so your mind, you're like super like dialed in to help create that. And we've never asked Jaren that because we have him on our show every week. We should ask him, do you guys script the first 15?
Yeah, or
plays?
How many they do.
And they'll do it like at the beginning of the game, and then they'll do it coming out at the half.
Typically. We'll take a break here. Hey, if you're down in Utah County, swing by. You can enter to win an ultimate tailgating pack here at the Murdoch Hyundai right here in Linden. So if you're headed down to the stadium maybe, or if you're already down this way, it's this ultimate tailgate kit. It's got the chairs, it's got the grill, it's got the cooler, it's got it all set up so you can enter to win that one as well. We've got some Jazz gear that we're giving away too. Ooh, there's some Nike gear there too. Good job, Stone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Utes square off against Oregon State in a massive Pac-12 showdown this Saturday at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Your home for the best coverage of Ute football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hut, hut, hi. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. We are down here at the Murdoch Hyundai right here in Linden. Beautiful shop, beautiful cars, tons going on here, too. And they got the Coke Freestyle machine, Scott. That's what drew you and I in.
Well, and popcorn.
They're going to draw for this tailgating kit over here. Cooler, chairs,
six
grill.
O'clock.
Is the pack of Oreos part of it, too, then? Yeah.
And the potato chips?
Actually, you know, oh, and chips.
Haven't even been opened. The potato chips haven't.
Look, yeah, you've got
the Oreos.
Look,
been
brand new tailgating grill and chairs and a cooler. But what about the Oreos? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. I guess as a guy who's on.
There's an art to Oreos.
Please explain, well, Dr. Mitchell, Oreo PhD.
You can't just eat Oreos.
Well, I get it. You don't just crunch them up.
But you can't dip it too much where, you know.
You're going the old lock theory.
Right. Yeah.
What was it? It was like the Jazz. What was it? It was about playing. Oh, it was about playing guys off the bench too much.
Yes.
It's like, I want to get these guys in. I want to develop them. But you don't want to leave an Oreo in the milk too long because it's a good Oreo. Stone's looking at me going, I don't know, philosophy-wise, I'll take a bowl of Oreo with milk over it.
Yeah,
the top.
It's pretty nasty, though, when it's just mushy.
When it gets mushy,
when you have to get a spoon to get it out.
So I used to do, I had a theory.
As long as it stays in your fingers and you can manage it with your fingers, it's a good Oreo.
Okay, 3.5 seconds, right?
Is that?
I said it.
That's it?
Yeah, I said it.
Timed it out.
And that's with whole milk. I can't give you the numbers.
Is the viscosity of milk, does that change?
It has to. Listen, I'm telling you. Oh, see, Stone has it right. You put the fork through the cream, but you keep it together, and then you dip it in.
The cream doesn't, melt.
No, but you put it like in. It's that same 3.5
cream
seconds.
Doesn't actually melt when you eat it. It just, it's like.
It stays in the air. Yeah. It's like the kind of thing where they go, actually, they've found animals dead thousands of years that still have Oreo cream in the gut. It doesn't break down.
It's that Clark Griswold super food.
Yeah, that's right. That keeps the cereal crunchy forever.
Yeah.
We'll get into more of the ice cream talk here, Scott, because I've got BYU and Aggie ice cream flavors battling one another as to see. Because I got people
love
wondering.
That new one, Hoof and Mouth. Hoof and Mouth.
You cannot say that. That's like fingers on fingernails on a chalkboard.
You go. You're sitting here laughing, going, "You can't say
no,
that."
No, because
you can't say that
because it shocked me.
Oh,
the shock and awe campaign.
Well,
of
that's what
your hoof and mouth flavor of ice cream.
I mean, that's what Ben and Jerry's. They give these like shocking,
it's terrible.
You know.
Let's jump in real quick here, Scott, to a little bit of a discussion as we. And I'm going to tell you here in the next hour and a half, Jake Hatch is going to show up. We're going to transition all the way fully into the Cougar pregame show. I looked at I saw a poll on Twitter, and it was just kind of a, hey, everybody, not a Utah person. It was like, you know, kind of like a West Coast college football, somebody tweeting it out. Who's the best team in the Pac-12?
Uh-huh.
And so you started to have this, you started to see some of these, you know, the rankings. It only gave you four choices. And you tell me if this is appropriate or not, okay?
Right.
Here are the four choices. Washington, Oregon, Utah, USC.
Right.
Those were the four they put out there.
Yeah.
And I thought that might not even be you could see two of those teams not even in the conversation of being in the top four at the end of the season, right? I mean, in the end.
Washington, of every school, has the hardest schedule.
And,
they play the most teams.
Here's what's as big of a shock to me as anything. Cal's 3-1.
Yes.
Cal's, like, playing okay.
Yes.
Washington
quarterback
State.
At Cal's playing great.
Washington State is a really good 3-1. They're the same reason that BYU's 3-1. They lost to Oregon. Only they did it in a much closer fashion at their place.
See, those schools, Washington State, Cal, you maybe could put UCLA in there. They're good enough to beat any of the schools that are the best schools in the Pac-12.
But see,
I think it's how do you take care of those mid-tier teams in the Pac-12? The Oregon States, like who Utah's playing this? Washington State, your Cal's,
UCLA.
They're kind of that second tier. But they're, you know, if you don't show up with your A game, you don't play well, they're going to beat you.
Can I guess what your top four is? I don't want you to reveal your top four. Can I guess your top four?
Yes.
All right. Washington, Oregon, USC, Utah.
So, like.
That's what I think. That's what my guess is.
So, four is Washington.
Four is Washington.
Yeah.
Oregon. Washington, 4. Oregon, 3. They lost by 46 to the eventual national champions in Georgia. I mean, we kind of went after them like that.
Here's the problem, and I think you can say it about every one of those top four teams. I think you can say it about UCLA. I think you can say it about most teams. What the Pac-12 has done is pretty much taken care of its non-conference schedule, and a lot of these schools have played garbage schools. I mean, USC has 1.5 hard games this season. They have Utah and they're at Notre Dame.
And they already played Oregon State.
Right. And so it's, you know, they're playing Arizona State at home this week. Mm. They're playing Colorado. They play UCLA, who I don't know how good Washington is. They haven't played anyone yet. They really haven't. They've looked good.
What about Michigan State?
No.
Mel Tucker is $9.5 million a year.
Come on, you know they're overrated. So they're a good team. UCLA is the same way. Like I just and guess what? Cal hasn't really played anyone yet.
Well,
either.
But at least
neither is USC. The only team USC has played halfway decent is Oregon State, and it was a close
tough.
Game.
It was tough.
So I mean, you can argue it about Utah
that they haven't. That we don't really know who they are. It's not that they haven't played anybody, so to speak, but really, I don't think they've gotten a great beat on where they are or who they are.
So Florida has talent. They have athletes. It was at home. They're a good football team. They're not a great football team, and Utah played terrible against them. I mean, they just didn't play great. Still had a chance to win, but, you know, then you go and play Southern Utah, and you play, a San Diego State team that doesn't know who they are, and they play – talk about a team that doesn't know who it is. I mean, in Arizona State, it's like Arizona State didn't even show up for, like, the national anthem. I mean, it was just – it was an easy game. So I don't know. I'm so fascinated now. I'm finally excited about college football and about Pac-12 football because now you're going to find out who really is good and who really isn't. And I don't really know. I mean, the fan in me says, well, yeah. My speculation is I think Utah is the most complete team in the Pac-12. Defensively, offensively, I think from top to bottom, they're the most solid team across the board in the Pac-12.
But I think, like, right now, I think a lot of people could say, well, we know who BYU is, but Kalani Sitake told you all week that they haven't seen it yet, though.
Yes.
Like, here's what we are, but we haven't seen that. And I think that's a little bit of the same way with Utah, where it's like all these games has been a little bit something where you just go – I don't know if we've seen that yet, the firing on all cylinders situation with any of these teams yet. And I don't know. I mean, should you be firing on all cylinders game one?
The last
all the
three
the
games, Utah hasn't had to play past the first half.
I know. And that's the part where you don't know exactly
I mean,
what you got.
They'd win by 70 if they, you know. I mean, they did against Southern Utah. But, I think they're a good football team.
Jeremy.
I think Oregon's better. I think Washington's better. I think USC's a better team. Now, how complete and how good they ultimately are. I mean, the other thing, too, is you're going to have injuries. You know, do you have the depth? And that's one of the things that Utah really has a lot of is depth right now.
Jeremy, give me some sexy music. Give me our – what's it called? Give me Songbird. Give me our First World Problems music. Oh, yeah, there you go. Scott, I'm going to read some ice cream flavors for you. I'll bring it up in my headphones, though. I got to hear that, dog. I got to feel moved by the
ice cream. Are these legitimate ice cream?
I'm not making these up.
Oh, I like my made-up one.
Ooh. Aggie chocolate cherry. How about this one?
Chocolate cherry, that's like original.
I mean, hey, listen. Aggie space debris.
Oh, now I like that one.
Now, here's what it is. Huckleberry-flavored ice cream with huckleberry raspberry swirl. White and dark chocolate flakes.
So have you had a huckleberry shake?
Oh yeah,
it's legitimate.
Yeah, and you know where I've got it? Where I've gotten it? Northern Idaho.
Right. No, right.
Like a Priest Lake area.
Right. Yeah. Big huckleberries in Idaho. That's a thing.
Big time.
And Preston, Idaho. I mean, what's his name?
Napoleon
Dynamite. Uncle Rico.
You know he's got to play ball, dude.
I think Uncle Rico went to like
hold on, I'm trying
know,
to find
Logan
some...
High School.
He probably did. That's what he was talking to. Yeah. It's probably like a Sky Ridge guy. Is that no Skyview?
Skyview.
Yeah, Skyview up there. Yeah. How about this one? Ooh, Monkey Business. Ooh.
Okay.
You ready for this? Banana and coconut flavored ice cream, chocolate covered Brazil nuts and fudge swirl. Trying to find ones that are more. I mean, they have about 50 flavors. I feel like. There's one that's just called that blue one. It's a Tutti Frutti blue ice cream.
I like that.
Okay. How about on the BYU side of things?
Raspberry cream cheese ice cream. Ah.
What's Pope's post-game snack? Not the Pope, right? Mark Pope. Here we go. Pope's post-game snack. I don't even know what it is. Description. Vanilla ice cream with chocolate rice crisps, chocolate chunks, and salted caramel.
So if you were the coach at BYU.
Yeah.
What would you be?
So I feel like they have these flavors. Because Bronco did the Broncos cocoa bean. I felt like he was never sold on it. But I will say, the creamery told us one time that it was the most expensive flavor to produce because it was the highest quality of stuff in there. And I went, Bronco had it right. So I would be, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I would go pistachio.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but not the pistachio flavoring. I want the real pistachio cream in there with a shot of chocolate. Boom, right through the swirl, right through the middle. What would you do?
See, I think that I'm not a fan of pistachio. I love pistachios, but just ice cream? No. So I would go Mexican vanilla bean.
Oh!
With
some Mexican cinnamon.
Huh?
Oh, yeah?
And some, like, chocolate fudge chunk in there.
I love how you did it. Like, you jammed your hand in the middle of it. With like, some, that's the fudge.
No, you ready for it? Yeah. Hang on. I'm not done.
No.
With some peanut butter.
Dang it. You can't. You can't.
And pretzels.
Yeah.
That's
like
legit
that's like
there.
The Scott Take 5. They do have a Fluffer Nutter, which is the vanilla ice cream, peanut butter swirl, and graham cracker with the marshmallow swirl through.
That's
the
getting
old
there.
Fluffer Nutter sandwich.
Got to have the. What would we call it?
The Scott Mitchell?
Pretzel Perfection.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. The Quest for Pretzel Perfection.
Yes.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Just call it The Quest.
Oh, The Quest.
Yeah. All right. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. We return this ridiculous music. Hey, does your home need a new look? RGS Exteriors can give you that new look. How do they do it? You give them a call. That's how. 801-280-3110. That's the number to get a hold of the folks at RGS Exteriors. You can also just go rgsutah.com. rgsutah.com. Let Tim Brown and his team take care of you. We'll come back. Got more to go around the corner. I think we have our let's have a game day edition of What Are the Odds coming up. And that means we're just about an hour away from the Cougar pregame show. Jake Hatch is going to show up. We're at the Hyundai, the Murdoch Hyundai right here in Linden. You can find us here in Utah County. You can enter to win yourself. Come in, throw your name in the old bucket here to win a tailgating pack as you're getting ready for this game. Dive off the freeway early and get going here. Get your tailgating going here. Put yourself in for this one and high-five Scott and tell him what your favorite flavor of Aggie or Cougar ice cream would be. The Creamery. All right, we'll come back. More to go right around the corner. Stay with us. Unravel continues 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
What are the odds?
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby!
You'll know exactly.
More or less.
What's going to happen?
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy game day to you. BYU and Utah State kicking off. Just about 2 hours from right now, an hour from right now, Jake Hatch and I are going to take over for the Cougar pregame show right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. And Scotty G is going to be doing the Utah State side of things on the 1280 signal. So if you want to catch the Aggie side of things, you go over to 1280. Jake and I will be doing the Cougar pregame show starting at 5 o'clock coming up. In the meantime, Scott, let's do a What Are the Odds? Brought to you by the folks at TryDayTrading.com. Try Day Trading. Now, anybody can be a day trader. Just give it a shot. TryDayTrading.com. Let's start things right off the bat here. By the way, we were talking about Oreos. And Stone, our tech down here at the Hyundai, the Murdoch Hyundai right here in Linden, which is where we're going. Hey, come by the way. You can enter to win some. We're going to do a drawing for the tailgate set here. You can throw your name in the old bucket and we'll draw that name around 6 o'clock. Don't have to be present to win. You win yourself a tailgate set from the folks here at the Hyundai, the Murdoch Hyundai right here in Linden. So Stone was talking about he just couldn't stop talking about Oreos, right? And then suddenly on his Instagram, up pops an Oreo ad or 10, right?
Yeah, it was a really thin Oreo too. It's kind of
well, it was
like
trying
a. Almost like a like an electric it's vehicle like a, it's like version a, of Oreos.
It's just, like it took a picture of us right here, and it was all, I heard you guys talking about Oreos, and I like it, but let's maybe hit the lower calorie version of that one, huh? Let's do it. Isn't that scary how that works? Just freaking people out with the old Oreo. So first up here, what are the odds? Goes like this. I give you a scenario. You give me a 0 to 100% chance, Scott, that thing will or will not happen. Bonus points if you can give me a jersey number associated with that as well. What are the odds that Gunnar Romney, who's supposed to be playing tonight in his first appearance for BYU this season, what are the odds that BYU's wideout Gunnar Romney scores a touchdown in his first game back for BYU?
I actually think it's fairly high.
They want to get him involved, right? Like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah. I'm going to say I'm going to say it's Keith Jackson, 88%.
Mm.
I don't know, that number just popped in my head for some reason. You know, the tight end.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Not
Keith Jackson.
No.
And my broadcast partner, Dan Fouts, from the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. Keith Jackson.
Not him.
I'm going to go with a...
I think it's high. I think Gunnar Romney, I think he'll have a good game.
I'm going to go with a...
I say, I have a feeling they're going to throw the ball deep to him on the very,
like the first,
play. I don't know why. I just like...
It's kind of an A-Rod thing to do, right?
Yeah, completely.
But that's
right, hasn't played all year. Let's just...
No, that's what they're expecting. That's what they're expecting. You know what? Quarterback draw, first play of the game.
Yeah.
Although they did it second play of the game. They did it second play of the game last week. I'm going to go with a Isaac Rex, 83%.
Right.
That Gunnar Romney gets a touchdown. Because they're going to want to feed him and kind of make him, hey, let's we got you back. We're really going to get you back here. What are the odds that that this wagon wheel, that there actually is an upset tonight by Utah State, and the wagon wheel goes up to Logan for the foreseeable future, because we don't know when this rivalry is going to come back again?
I'm going to give it a Zach Wilson 1% chance when he was at BYU.
That's
BYU number one.
Those are terrible odds. You got to give Aggie fans a little bit more hope than that. No?
No. It's going to be a rough night for the Aggies.
I'm giving them – you know what I'm going to do? I'm way more optimistic than you. I'm doubling yours.
Yeah,
so I'm going to go Zach Wilson 2% with the New York Jets.
Of course you are. Yes.
Because I feel bad for my Utah State brethren. Isn't that the worst when somebody goes, I feel bad for you guys. You know, you guys are going through a lot right now as a program. There's nothing more –
Don't patronize
There's
me.
Nothing more patronizing
yes.
than this. Oh, man, you guys are going through a lot right now. Hope you guys have fun. Hey,
nobody
Buffy.
Nobody cares.
I heard Utah State's coming to town.
Nobody cares.
Invite them over for dinner afterward if we do beat them by 4 touchdowns. Tell them what it's like, maybe with some BYU ice cream. Mm-hmm. Don't pull a USC on me and do this. Nobody needs that. All right.
I think even Utah State knows it's not going to be a good night.
They can't feel good about it.
No.
Right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough night.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled. It's a game day edition of Unrivaled. We are here at the Murdoch Hyundai in Linden. So if you're headed down to the game, maybe take a slight detour. You can put in for a tailgating kit right here, 2 tailgating chairs, the grill and the cooler, plus the Oreos and the chips, which is the one that is the most tempting to us probably, I'd say. Right, Scott? So come down. You can hang out. You can put your name in for that one. We have got a lot to talk about. Sources now, I think it was Pete Thamel was the most recent one. I saw a bunch of folks saying that Logan Bonner is listed as not playing, not dressing for Utah State tonight, apparent leg injury. And Cooper Laga, the kid out of Orem High School, who had quite a bowl game in the L.A. Bowl, led Utah State to a victory over Oregon State down in L.A. This is a guy who's here local. People like him a lot. But I think this is pretty depressing for a lot of Utah State fans who I think were wondering about what exactly was going to happen. But I think it's been confirmed by sources. They are, if you're tuning in right now, you're not going to see Logan Bonner starting at quarterback for Utah State tonight. You're going to see Cooper Laga out of Orem High School. That's a massive bummer because you already had a massive injury that Logan Bonner had to deal with last year, off-season surgery. And then you get a couple games in and you've got to go right back to the drawing board when it comes to rehabbing. On the personal side of it, like from that side, Scott, it's a huge bummer, I think, because Logan Bonner is a baller. And he's been, he's the only quarterback to ever bring a Mountain West Conference championship to this school. And it's a real bummer to have him out.
Well, and you saw the production he had a year ago, and he was prolific and had a great year. And he's one of these guys that, you know, he plays tough. He hangs tough in the pocket. He makes great throws. And when you're an athlete and things aren't going well, the last thing in the world you want is to have to leave the game and you have to get, whether it's injury or whatever reason, because you always feel like I'm one play away from turning this all around. And when you've invested everything, you're the guy out there taking all the shots and making all the plays, and you know, you want to you don't want to be sidelined, and you don't want to be part of how to make the team better. And so it's a hard thing to get injured and to be out, and especially when your team's kind of struggling and they need that stability, they need your leadership and your talent. And so not a fun position for anyone to be in, but you know, on the other side of it, getting a chance to play and for the next guy up is, you know, always one of those things that, you know, it can end up being a good thing. It really can. So we'll see where it ends up. But the thing you learn about football is it just goes on, right? It's with injuries, you know, we heard Kyle Whittingham talking about Brant
next man
Keithy,
up, next man up. Yep.
And that's just the cold, hard reality of football. And you just go, we'd love to sit here and commiserate with you. That's what your family's for. But the team, you know, it has to go on. I mean, it's just the cold, hard truth about everything. And unfortunately, it does.
One of the things that we were wondering about with this whole deal, with this team, with BYU getting set for today, because you have on one side Logan Bonner, who's, injured, and I don't know how long that's going to have to be figured out, but he just had this bad injury last year. And then if he's got another leg injury of the same nature, then that's a massive bummer. On the flip side, you've never seen more, I guess, that the positive vibes for Jaren Hall, the amount of pub he's getting as a guy who, there's part of me too, Scott, that maybe I'm a cynic sometimes. I just don't know if guys have it sometimes, and I don't know what to believe on one side or the other. But when I read that these analysts are saying, hey, Jaren Hall, and I saw it just over the past 24 hours even, people putting Jaren Hall in that top three, top four, top five quarterback in the draft for next year. It's nice to have these games. I mean, it's nice to have big games. It's nice to be on TV. That's why being on TV on a Thursday night like this, when you're the only game in town, it matters, because all that does, if you have a decent game, if you have a really good game, it just keeps that ball rolling momentum-wise.
So Jaren Hall has a look that, you've seen in the NFL. It looks like Russell Wilson, not Russell Wilson playing for the Denver Broncos, but the Super Bowl winning Russell Wilson. And Jaren Hall is athletic. He comes from a baseball background. The thing that I think has been a big improvement for me from this year and last for Jaren is his arm strength. Watching him throw the ball down the field, he's throwing it actually more efficiently down the field than most guys in college. Like he really understands ball position on those downfield throws, and that's a lot of the difference between college and the NFL is ball placement and the timing of throws. You know, he kind of holds the ball a little bit right now, you know, getting it out quicker, making some quicker decisions. But the other part of him is like extremely athletic.
Yeah,
I mean, and that translates into,
and the arm strength was the big question.
He's more athletic than Zach Wilson.
Yeah,
you know, and probably has as strong an arm as Zach Wilson. And, you know, and I get so tired, and it's a really worn out phrase, because it's BS for the most part, this whole off platform throw thing.
What? It's what we love to say. It's guys not off platform. Off schedule, Scott. Come on.
Well, no, it was off platform. It's off whatever.
Off whatever.
It's like, this is football, and you're never going to just drop back and sit and have a clean pocket every single play.
Right.
And that's been from the beginning of time. This isn't something new. It's not something that these guys have all of a sudden developed. Quite frankly, Patrick Mahomes has kind of ruined it for everyone. Because he's the only – like, everyone doesn't throw like that.
Right.
But everyone throws well enough on the move.
But everybody gets compared to, can they throw like that? Yeah.
And he can. And so
– what about his size? You know, I know a lot of people bring up a lot about the 6'1", and he's a legit 6'1", and people look at it and go – and Zach Wilson
– well, just look at Kyler Murray. Look at Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. Look at – there's a lot of guys. Like, height, you never throw over people, ever. So it's even for a guy as tall as I am, you don't throw over people, and you throw through lanes. It's where you throw. And so
when people go, oh, you can't see over those linemen.
It's an overrated like metric.
It's a little bit of a so the guy who
can he throw it on time and can he throw it in the right spot? That's really all that matters.
Yeah,
like I mean, it really is. I don't care if you're 4 foot one, if you can throw it on time to the right spot. you're going to be very successful as a quarterback in the NFL. Can you make that decision and can you deliver it in the right spot? You will do very well.
Todd McShay threw it out there. He says, clear-cut top three quarterbacks in the 2023 class. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and Will Levis, right? Will Levis is one out of Kentucky.
And you know what he is? He's the new iteration of Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Yeah. Some people say Matthew Stafford, right. Kind of in a comp, right? And it says Tyler Van Dyke and Anthony Richardson are loaded with traits but have disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that Anthony Davis, that Florida game looks more and more like that Richardson. Guy. Or, yeah, sorry, Anthony Richardson, that game – look, everybody looks at that and goes, oh, my gosh, he showed
really
up for that
like
game.
It was really like one play. I mean, it was just one scramble. And it was,
yeah, and his ability to be able to scare you on the RPO and just kind of sneak in that way.
Feels a little bit like Jamarcus Russell.
He's huge. Don't get me wrong. He's big and he's fast. But, you know, then it says this, the next part of his tweet. Talking to NFL scouts, here are the quarterbacks rising fast. BYU's Jaren Hall, UT's Hendon Hooker, and Fresno State's Jake Haener. And so getting talked about by Todd McShay.
So be clear about the UT, that's Tennessee, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Not Hook'em Horns.
No.
But it's Hooker, right, though?
Yeah, yeah.
Hooker is not from Hook'em Horns.
No.
Okay.
No, that's I love the UT vibe. No. He's a Tennessee guy. Played at, I think, Virginia Tech before that. But this is one of those things, Scott, where I look at and I go, is this just based on the fact that and it helps to be seen. It helps to have your games on ESPN. It helps to have maybe that early game or that late game. But Jaren Hall starts to get this type of pub. So now what? I guess people look at it and go, so what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this publicity? What are you going to do with this type of attention? And you and I talk with him every week. He hates that kind of attention, or at least hates talking about it.
Do you know what's really hard? You know what's really hard about quarterbacks, just to start with?
Your people, yeah.
Like in the NFL? I don't think anybody knows. I really don't. Just look, like all the names that we've named, and Tom Brady going to go down as arguably one of the greatest of all time was like a sixth-round draft
and
choice.
Nobody ever said, hey, here's my top five.
No, yeah.
Tom Brady in it. And on the flip side, you were in everybody's top five, six quarterbacks in the draft, and you waited till the fourth round of the draft.
Yeah, this isn't about me. Oh. Let's talk about some other people. But like Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson was a third round guy.
Third round guy, yeah.
But then you go, well, what about Zach Wilson? I mean, who would have thought he'd have been the second pick in the draft? And then you have Trevor Lawrence, and you go, huh? And then you go, you know, Justin Herbert, who's played fairly well. It's across the board on whether these quarterbacks pan out or they don't. And you look at Trey Lance, the 49ers, I thought they were going to, like, die if they didn't. They just found their guy. And I don't know if he's the guy. And then Mac Jones, you know. I mean, there's just – you can go across the board with almost every quarterback. Dan Marino was, like, the fifth guy picked in the first round in 1983 and probably was the most talented, best quarterback in that entire draft.
The fifth quarterback he was taken.
But he was the fifth quarterback taken.
Yeah.
So I think teams, I think it's a crapshoot.
So what is it then? What's the most important trait that Jaren Hall could have?
The most important trait for any quarterback, I've said it earlier, but I'll say it again, it's throwing the ball on time in the right spot. That's the most important thing. Can that guy deliver consistently, making good decisions and having accurate throws? Because you have to have them in the NFL. And there's a term, and, you know, Marino used to say this all the time. He says, you can't beat a perfect throw. And that's what a perfect throw is, on time in the right spot. And arm strength doesn't play into it. Being an athlete doesn't play into it. It's just can you process information and perform at a high level doing that? And you can't measure it. Like, you can't measure it by – Wonderlic scores or you can't measure it by 40 times or how far you can throw a football or how athletic you are. You can't measure any of it.
Speaking of guys, you just
have it or you don't.
Speaking of guys we've guessed on, and we still don't necessarily have a full beat on exactly where they are. And I would even say in the case of Joe Burrow, we don't totally know where he's at or where he's going to shake out to be. But Miami and Cincinnati facing off tonight, Do you have any apology you want to issue to Tua Tagovailoa?
No, because I'm totally not convinced yet still. And again, it goes back to those two things.
He's the best quarterback in the league. They're 3-0. Scott, I don't know if you've heard that this week. The Miami Dolphins are undefeated. Only AFC team that are undefeated. Yeah. They might as well be the 1972 Dolphins.
Let's see what happens after week four.
Could you imagine the 2022 Dolphins?
I know.
50 years after? It would be the only acceptable thing for that group of hater 1972. Yeah. Because that's what they are. The 1972 Dolphins. I think about this Roger Maris in Aaron Judge home run, right?
Hit 61.
He hit 61 last night, right? And the Maris family, I don't know how they're really feeling about it. If you're the Maris family, how would you feel? They broke Dad's record, right?
I think that's kind
of a bummer. But they have to have the nice face on, like, yay, thumbs up. Like, look, congratulations to him. But you know what?
Let me give you some insight.
You know who has no grace? The freaking 72 Dolphins who are – oh, boy. Get that dang music. This is a real song from a real hood. But they pop the champagne when teams lose. And they play this song. So they can still be the undefeated team and act like they're the only person. The best thing that ever happened to them was that Patriots team in 2012, in the 2012 Super Bowl, that didn't win the dang thing because Eli Manning beat them.
So anyone who's ever played in sports and who's ever remotely competitive hates it when their record's broken. So you're asking, how does the Maris family feel? They put a face on it, but behind all of it, they go,
they hate it.
We don't want to see this.
No.
We don't want to see this.
Their dad's legacy is that Roger Maris,
because
like 61.
When you play, you think you're the best. You want to be remembered as the best. You don't want to have anybody break all of your records. I've been around some really high-level athletes, and people were coming close to breaking their records.
And they were getting close to breaking their knees.
They were not happy about it. They were not happy about it.
I would just think, he's since passed away, and
when you get older, what do you have if you're a former athlete?
That's your record.
You have your legacy. Yeah. You have your record. Here is my deal, right? And so the minute somebody comes along and they basically erase you from the world, like it's just like, phew, you're gone. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's kind of the perception you have, because you can't go out and play anymore. So all you have is, you have your stories that you lie about, and they get better and better as you get older, and you have your record, and that's it. That's why guys want to be in the Hall of Fame, because you can't take away the Hall of Fame. And there are guys like Deion Sanders that are even like, well, I'm going to take it a notch up. It's like, I'm the best person in the Hall of Fame. And he can't even accept other people.
He's like, I don't want a gold jacket. I want the platinum jacket.
Right, I can't accept anyone else actually getting in here. And there's probably more people in sports that reach that level that think like Deion. He's not alone. He's just the one that's verbalizing it. Most of these people go, that guy got in? And it's like, well,
not
you know.
Not with Deion. They all know he shouldn't.
And it's like, well, that's nice that you're here. I would be interested to see the guys that are in the Hall of Fame that actually apologize to the other Hall of Famers. It's like, yeah, can you believe they let me in this building, you know, kind of thing. And it's a real thing. It's a real thing when these guys have their records broken or some kind of thing. And it's what makes them great, but it's also what makes them highly egotistical.
Are you one of those guys that goes, yeah, my numbers are pretty good, though. They compare with Terry Bradshaw, aside from the Super Bowls. I should be in the Hall of Fame.
See, I think it's foolish.
Because you threw 100 touchdowns.
I think it's foolish.
Yeah. Okay?
I think it's foolish to compare like an era. Like the way things were. I'm watching, for whatever reason, early this morning, the 1955 NFL championship game between the Cleveland Browns and the Los Angeles Rams. And I'm watching these guys play, and I'm going, like, no one on that field at that time could play on the field today. Like, just watching how they played, watching how they threw the football, watching how they ran. Even the officials it was just, like, comical how so slow motion everything was. And it looked like they were, you know, wearing, like, I don't know, spacesuits, you know, the uniforms they had. It's like, how could you move around in something so, like, binding and cumbersome and heavy. But it just evolves. And for that day, those were the best players. Those were the best teams. And nutrition, training, everything.
It's all gotten better.
It's like exploded. The rules in the game. Everything's changed. And so who cares? Like, I hear players go, man, if I played today, I'd throw for 4 million yards. And it's like, you would hope. But maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you were designed for an era a long time ago. Who knows? But I don't. Who cares? When you had your time and your opportunity, you made the most of how it was at that time, and that's what it is.
I'm gonna be honest. I was never one of those people that thought that Jaren Hall really was like an NFL guy.
No.
And maybe it was because we just never saw the arm strength until. This year.
But totally, my point earlier, you don't know who an NFL guy is. No, right. I don't think anyone – you can't
– Even the guys who are in the NFL right now, we don't know if they're NFL guys.
I mean, okay, Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's an Ivy League guy.
Yeah.
Very different, but he had the ability to play in the NFL. And don't ask me why. And so it doesn't – I don't care body type. I don't care athleticism. I don't care what college. I don't even care what kind of success you had in college. But I can tell you, I could tell you right off the bat, Tim Tebow, heck no. Danny Werfel, no. Like, are you kidding? Gino Toretta,
so
come
you
on,
know,
no.
You, so you no. know, you know.
Not even no, but hell no. Sorry.
So you know the guys that you see that you go, no, they won't have a future. But you don't know the guys that will.
There's a lot of guys that just kind of jump out and surprise
hey,
the heck out of
me. I'm just going to tell people right now, Scott's got to get that apology tour lined up because Tua Tagovailoa, Scott felt the same way about Tua.
He's still
not there yet, but
they've played three games.
Scotty threw 6 touchdowns. He made a comeback.
Yeah.
Scotty won the Heisman Trophy for Alabama. Scott, it's Tua Tagovailoa.
I'll tell you the guy that shocked me.
Who?
Like it is absolutely floored me.
Who?
Jalen Hurts. That guy could not. He sucked in college. They had to get rid of him to get Tua. That's how bad he was. You got Tua for him.
Hey,
but that guy, I don't know what he did. Hey. I seriously do not know what he did.
I think you lost your touch, bro. I think you lost your touch. Yeah. You're losing your touch here. All these guys, you thought you knew what they were in college.
I'm making my point from earlier. You do not know. Because I will tell you right now, I would bet the house that Jalen Hurts. They said we didn't draft him to be a quarterback. We drafted him to be what's his name, the other quarterback at BYU.
Oh, what?
The Swiss knife.
Oh yeah, to be to Taysom Hill.
It wasn't to be quarterback.
Here's the thing.
Third down specialist.
I'm just going to tell everybody right now. We talk about Taysom Hill all day, every day. So Scott doing the thing where he goes, what's that guy's name who played for your school? Out there, he threw the ball sometimes, and they broke his leg sometimes, and he jumped, and he was fast. He's a Swiss guy. He's from Switzerland. It's Taysom Hill, and you freaking know it.
No, I don't.
You're trying to act like you don't. Oh, no. I don't know who your team is down here, but come on.
It's the brain injuries. Leave me alone.
The old NFL CTE. We laugh about it now. Later we'll go. Scott really was losing his mind a little bit. You really did. You were affected by yesterday's thing where you go, I didn't say 1977. I said 78. And when we played it back, Scott went like 1,000-yard stare. Goes, I'm out. Send me back to the NFL to get my test done. All right.
Here we go.
Go get it.
Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. And the other guy on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, BYU and Utah State going to be kicking off in just over an hour and a half. Everybody a little concerned, Scott, about the weather because there's been some talk of because rain is one thing, wind is one thing, cold, hot, whatever. It's about that lightning and the possibility of some lightning could be rolling in, apparently, according to the forecasters, including Kevin Eubank, who was talking about the possibility of a storm rolling in and there being some lightning associated with it. And I hate that. I hate that because it delays everything immediately with 20 minutes if it's within that 3 or 6 mile range.
Nothing worse
than
a rain delay in a football game.
And it's just sitting around and waiting for these guys to start up. BYU had to do it, I think, for an hour and 40 minutes against South Florida. So they've had to do the sitting around thing once. But so that's in the that's in play. But yeah, not really sure. Not really sure what the possibility of whether or not that's going to go off fine is the deal. So obviously, as soon as that you find out, you'll be told, hey, there's this thing's in delay. So, but also the possibility of Logan Bonner maybe being out for not just tonight, maybe more extended time, not even dressing tonight. Cooper Laga going to get the start for the Utah State Aggies, according to sources. And so injuries across the board too, because there's a lot of guys who are going to play for BYU, but you're going to see some injuries still affecting guys like Puka Nacua. You're seeing some guys warming up who you might not necessarily be, according to Mitch Harper, our BYU insider. You're seeing some guys warming up. Game time decisions still on a handful of those guys. But for the most part, way more healthy than Utah State going into this one. You heard the sounder. NFL Roundup right here. Brought to you by the folks at the let me pull my stuff up here. I'll make sure I have it all right here for you. It's the Online Trading Academy. It teaches people just like you to make the same moves at the same time Wall Street elites are doing it. So sign up for that three-day market timing course for only $99. Text $99 to 25029. 25029. Scott, let me see here. I'm firing this one up, and I'm wondering about Zach Wilson. He says he's 100%. I think we got some audio on that too. So let's take a listen to what Zach Wilson says about his possibility of playing this week.
100%. I'm ready to go. Of course, the biggest thing is you just haven't played ball in a little bit. You know, you've been trying to replicate as much as possible. So I'm just going to have fun with this process and getting back in and, you know, just giving it my best.
How difficult was it for you just to kind of go through this process, especially after suffering an injury a year ago?
Right. It's frustrating, but I think everyone kind of deals with injury. And it's kind of how you handle it, how you get back, and then how you can, you know, prepare yourself to come back and, still play well with missing some time.
Yeah, most guys who get injured stay and play. I mean, it's so hard for a young quarterback to miss all the time that he's missed, and he doesn't have experience. He doesn't have, you know, he's a young guy trying to still figure things out, so it's just delayed his maturation. And the problem, you keep delaying it, and then people start getting impatient. You have a window. You have a time. I mean, it was drilled into my brain playing in the NFL. Like, if you don't do something, if you don't show up, if you don't make the most of your opportunity when you have the time to make it, goodbye. It does not wait around for you. It does not feel sorry for you. It is like, make it happen or else. And Zach Wilson's got time, but he just shortens the window with all these injuries. So, don't expect Zach Wilson to just go out there and just start lighting it on fire, because it's now Zach Wilson in there. He's going to go through growing pain still, just because he hadn't had that game experience. And they're better. I mean, they got better weapons. You know, they're a better team, but it's still going to be hard.
Taysom Hill is apparently taking quarterback reps as Jameis Winston is still hurting. Saints and Vikings in London. Saints and Vikings in London.
Taysom Hill is not going to be the quarterback.
So Andy Dalton then?
It's all about.
I don't think.
It's all about letting the Vikings know we're going to have to deal with, and they have to prepare for. They potentially could have to prepare for Taysom Hill being in a game, and you plan and you prepare for it differently. Because Andy Dalton is not a runner, and Andy Dalton is a guy that's going to sit in the pocket. So the way you do your defense is going to be different. That's all gamesmanship, blah, blah, blah. That being said, Taysom Hill has shown an ability in a pinch for a couple of games to be a guy that can win a football game for you. And that could very well be the case.
All right. So next up on the old NFL Roundup here.
Just really quick about that one, because – you know, you have Andy Dalton, who's new to the system, right? But you got Taysom Hill, who's been around a while.
But you
in a really short period of time, it may be smarter to actually go with the guy that's has more familiarity with the offense, because Taysom Hill can improvise and he can still be effective. He can still win a game short term.
I hate the idea of Taysom's going to do all this. He's not going to be our starting quarterback, and we're going to ask him to do a lot of things. He's going to be listed as tight end, blah, 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 blah. And then you keep kind of doing this thing where you go, well, maybe he's going to take some reps at quarterback, though, this week because Jameis Winston's hurt. And it's like, which one is it? Which one is it? Is he a backup quarterback?
No.
Because they're not even saying he's a backup quarterback.
He's
but
not.
Everybody's saying he's taking reps at quarterback. Now, is he the third-string quarterback? Is he the backup right now this week if Jameis Winston's not playing in London? Which one is it? Because when they keep going back and forth and they say, nah, this guy, Taysom Hill, man, he's a team player. I'll tell you what he's not. He's not a quarterback.
But they can say that.
Right.
Like, they can say – and they can do that, too. I mean, that's a uniqueness of a guy like Taysom Hill. He has the ability in a short-term situation. If you need him to play a game, two, three games at quarterback, he can do it. He can be on kickoff, punt return. He can be a tight end. He can be a wildcat guy. He can be a third down specialist. I mean, if there ever was a truth to the saying, the more you can do, and that's a statement in the NFL. You want to play, for a long time, learn how to do a lot of things. Don't just play center. Learn how to play guard. Learn how to play tackle. Learn how to long snap. But learn whatever. Just figure out ways to keep yourself around as long as you possibly can. And if you're a guy like Chase Daniel, just learn how to sit on the bench and not throw touchdown passes. Whatever you got to learn, figure it out. Make $42 million throwing 11 quarter touchdowns in a bazillion years.
Scott's favorite guy. Listen, feel happy for him, would you?
I don't know how to feel about that. I seriously don't, and I really don't.
Well, people didn't know how to feel when you're
if I'm him, I'm the happiest man in the world.
Oh.
Everyone goes, I want your job. Everybody's envious of him.
I will just tell you, too. Well, they want his job right now. The thing is, afterward.
What
I'll tell
job
you Chase
do you
Daniel-
get to get to after taxes, get $21 million to do nothing?
Chase Daniel.
What other job is there?
Yeah, that's true. Chase Daniel, he doesn't really look like a quarterback. He's not particularly tall.
No.
He's a little bit chubbier now. He's in his older age. But I'll tell you, like, if you saw him on the street and somebody goes, hey, that's Chase Daniel, people are going to go, oh, my gosh. Tell me who that is again.
Right.
Right. That's going to be the rest of his.
Is he a country singer?
No. He was an NFL quarterback. They go, that guy? Awesome. Who'd he play for? Oh, shoot. Do you have 20 minutes? We got 17
Let's
teams.
Let's just go with who he didn't play with.
How many touchdowns did he throw in his career? Six. Seven. Seven touchdowns. Oh, man. So he must have had a short career. No. 25 years. Like, he's going to have the longest dang career for a backup quarterback. I love it. You've done that trip overseas for a football game.
I have.
Going to London.
Preseason.
Right. But going to London for like a regular season game.
I can't imagine this.
It must be a freaking hassle and a half.
Yeah. It would be awful. It's not only the week of the game. It's the aftermath. I mean, think of how your sleep cycle gets all messed up when you go on a vacation and come back. I mean, it's one thing to be there, but it's dealing with it. I mean, it'd probably be fun and cool and whatever, but to have the – I don't know. Not in the regular season. Not when the games count and it's your career on the line. I'd be skeptical to go do that.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the break. We'll come back. When we return, we'll wrap up our discussion with a little bit of a two-minute drill, and we'll also get you into your Cougar pregame show. Jay Catch standing by here, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, where you're going to get the Cougar pregame show, and then the Aggies can be heard over on 1280 AM coming up in about 15 minutes as well. More to go. Stay with us. We are at the Murdoch Hyundai here in Linden. If you want to come in, throw your name into the box for a tailgating kit. If you want to come grab some jazz gear, we've got that as well. You don't have to throw your name in for any of that. You just come over and say, hey, can I have one of these shirts? The answer is yes. So come on by. We're at the Murdoch Hyundai in Linden. Stay right here with us. More to go. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Utes square off against Oregon State in a massive Pac-12 showdown this Saturday at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Your home for the best coverage of Ute football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hut, hut, hut. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Final few minutes with Scott here is we are at the Murdoch Hyundai in Linden. And in just a few minutes, the show morphs into the Cougar pregame show right here, 97.5. the KSL Sports Zone. And then, of course, over on 1280 AM, you can get Scotty G's call, the pregame of the Utah State side of things. So, as I think we put it, dueling pregame shows right here from both sides, but all in the same family. So it's all nice. And then there's Scott, who's who does the Utah games. And, you know, right now it doesn't really fit into the whole equation. Scott, nope. So we're just going to – at some point we're going to send you off into the old
kicking
distance.
Me out.
2-Minute Drill brought to you by the folks at RGS Exteriors. Brick, vinyl, stucco, James Hardy siding. What do you want to do? You want to make your house look better? Give those guys a call. 801-280-3110. RGSUtah.com is the website as well to get a hold of Tim Brown and his guys. RGSUtah.com. Scott, the 2-minute drill goes like this. We play some music, and it's really expedited today because we're getting out of this thing quite early. It's maybe like a 1.5-minute drill.
Let's hurry then.
You better go.
All right, late in football game, we're going to go down the field, get a field, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time or so, same way. Still got a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time. So we hurry, talk a little bit about a lot of things, finish the show, go home happy with a trophy. Because everyone gets one of those these days because we participate along with a plethora of desserts that include chocolate souffle from Spain.
What?
Chocolate souffle, flan from Spain, key lime pie from Florida, gelato from Italy, baklava from Greece, and, of course, I don't know, that cake from Walmart.
Yeah, sure. The chocolate cake from Walmart. Yeah, they said that was good.
I don't know if it's chocolate, but
here's what we have here, Scott. I'm going to talk about a little bit about this Aaron Judge home run because it was hit into the crowd, and these guys didn't catch it, and it went into the Blue Jays bullpen in the Blue Jays bullpen.
Bulging discs.
So the bullpen coach just walked over and like, yeah, here's the 61st home run. There you go. You know, to the Yankees staff.
Yeah, right.
And they moved right on.
Yeah.
And I was actually glad because everybody's freaking out like, oh, he could have caught that. And I'm glad that we don't have to have the discussion of what did they give him for the ball now. It just is like went straight into the Blue Jays bullpen. Although, should you give maybe $100,000 to the bullpen coach?
So, basically, it's tying an American League record. Now, see, a lot of people think it should be the consummate record.
Right, because of the
steroid juice,
right,
the juice ball era.
Sure.
All I can say is I don't care. Juice ball, no juice. 61 home runs is a lot.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
He's hit 31 of them on the road, too.
Wow.
Impressive. All right.
Yeah.
Next up, Scott. But I was just thinking about that guy, and everybody's like freaking out that he didn't catch it. And I thought, come on. It's fine. Okay.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.